This is CliffCentral.com.
The Football Show. It's a philosophy on CliffCentral.com.
Yes, 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 it's Wednesday and it's the Football Show. A show about football, Russian ultras, Euro 2016, violence at the Euros, physical education teachers like Musin Etugral, BPL fixtures, Dr. Fuentes, septic bladder, gentleman ultra, Rosella Marai, and the Orlando attacks. What it do, fam? What up,
oh,
to your mojo?
What's happening, man?
What's happening?
We've got a packed show.
Lifestyle, lifestyle, lifestyle.
Euro 2016 is causing
havoc.
Havoc.
Yes. Yes, 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 yes. We've got a show for you here today, guys. We're going to be joined by Gentleman Ultra. If you don't follow Gentleman Ultra, you need to do that. He is like the coolest, swaggerific, most fleekiest man on Twitter who tweets about Italian football and writes about Italian football and other related subjects, as well as Rosella Marai. She's got a blog about heels and football, Calcio and Heels.
Culture and Heels.
And she's also super fire. We've had her on the show before. So you can follow Gentleman Ultra at Gentleman _ Ultra. Or at Rosella Marai, Rosella, Rosella _ Marai, Marrai. Here is our show. Here goes the intro, the fire intro.
Here we go.
We are told that he spends his free time reading chapter upon chapter of Gilles Deleuze and Félix Guattari's Capitalism and Schizophrenia, where he has learned the true meaning of the term stratified desiring machine in chapter 1 of the Anti-Oedipus. And that in order to finesse his legal knowledge and write an all-encompassing magnum opus of legal philosophy for his beloved mother Africa, he recites passages of Grotius's Inlaying, which is the law of obligations, for those who don't know. All we know is that he is the exemplary immigrant, the noble Nigerian, the only man who's quoted as a non-celebrity on Twitter, the custodian of the authentic African twang, the God, Durag Jesus.
Durag Jesus.
Ah. Durag Jesus. Oh, what a guy.
The local Nigerian Ninja Turtle.
Yeah. Unfortunately, Durag Jesus won't be able to join us today, but wherever you are,
he's out there with Master Splinter somewhere.
Master Splinter meditation. Right, so.
Many time we hear of people who found purpose in life, a true calling. Most of these times we are disappointed when we finally meet our heroes in person. But we have been spared this embarrassment and indignation of such an abomination in this instance.
Yes, yes.
For this man is a true stripper whisperer.
Yeah.
First man to write a how-to guide on navigating the world's top 1,000 strip clubs 2,000 meters above sea level. There's no air up there. The philanthropic stripper whisperer. The feminist meminist.
Yes!
Meninist. The god... Mr. Comrade
Christian. Yes, thank you so much. Oh, yeah.
Guy is,
thank you so much. Thank you so much for having me on the show, Mr. Theo.
An erudite master of the strip club scene
look,
across the planet.
I've had a pilgrimage across the world where I needed to look at certain strip clubs that are scrappers that are above 2,000 meters.
King of Diamonds.
Yes.
Miami Gardens.
Yeah, definitely.
There we go.
You seem to have a bit of an idea.
I'm not surprised.
For this man, the world exists only insofar as it is an object and vessel of patronage. To be this man is to constantly marvel in bewilderment at the audacity of mediocrity.
That's what I say every day.
Some have labeled him a flirtatious dogmatist, while others have called him an amateur Etonian. All we know is that he is the godfather of black privilege, the man with a collection of Brooks and Brothers evening garments that span the entire color spectrum. The God, Theo Mojo.
Yo, I'm back.
Theo.
You know, I've just recently realized that it's, if you don't have Baccarat, Crystal, anything, you pretty much aren't doing anything.
No, you don't, eh?
You can't.
Yeah, you can't.
You need Baccarat in your life.
How are you doing? How are you feeling after the accident? Are you back to 100% now?
No, I'm not, but I'm glad to be here. You guys are making me feel better.
Oh, fire mixtape. Anyway, fans can tweet us using the hashtag TheFootballShow or tweet us at FootballShowCC. That's our handle, at FootballShowCC, football spelt with a PH. Or you can call us on 0861-555-189 or alternatively like our Facebook page, The Football Show. Emphasis on football with a PH. Exclamation, exclamation. Alternatively, you can chat to us using the Cliff Central ID on WeChat, which is Cliff Central. And as usual, we have a Periscope account, which exists ironically because we never broadcast on it. You can follow us there as well. Follow with a PH. Right, so ground rules. Let's tone it down a bit. And I mean, it's sad that for the past two episodes, we've had to start the show on a somber note. And this week is no exception. And our hearts go out to the families of the victims of the Orlando attacks, where 49 people died and scores more were injured by a gunman who seemed to be intent on shooting people who want to enjoy themselves.
Yeah, shout out to all those people out there.
Yeah, man.
Keep strong, Orlando. Keep together and, you know, may love rain, I guess.
Yeah, man. I mean,
people are... We're living in the end of times, I think.
Yeah, no, this, I find and it very disturbing. Just, but what do you do? You know, what do you do?
Yeah, but keep strong and we're here supporting you.
Yeah, definitely. Right, let's kick off the show.
What?
Top of the dome. Yeah. You wanna flow?
Yo,
you wanna drop some bars? You wanna drop some bars? You wanna
dropping in the middle of
drop
a little, it's a Wednesday.
Yeah.
Sitting here at 12 o'clock on a midday.
Yeah.
Sitting, reading.
Reading.
Eating not Nigerian food.
Those are some Etonian bars.
That's exactly what I was
from
trying.
From Bio Mojo.
I've learned it from Skepta and
Skepta
on the streets, you know.
Skepta.
Shout out North.
Right, let's start off with Copa America Centenario. So much happening in the world of football, man. There's a lot of football
for off season.
For
right?
Off season, yeah, it's bizarre. Anyway, the final matches of the group stages of the Copa America Centenario came to a close on Tuesday, and results: Chile 4, Panama 2.
It was a given, right?
It didn't look like it for a very long time. I mean, they actually went down initially. It was 1-0 to Panama initially.
And they Alexis Sanchez
And they came from behind.
Former QPR player.
Yeah, former QPR
Vargas,
player.
Just,
yeah. But where does he play now?
I think he's in he's at Serie A, I think. I'm not mistaken.
Is it?
Is it? Yeah.
Ah, okay.
But you think this is it's telling of the competition, you know. I think from what I've seen in Copa America, I think there's a number of teams who are just far too
inferior. And far
Haiti,
too,
number one, fair enough. they had a devastating earthquake 3 years ago.
Four.
Fair enough to get beaten by. I mean, but God, Panama and I think and also you just realize Panama always beat their opponents when they played home because they're like 3,000 meters above sea level. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's, I mean, Chile winning there,
mm-hmm.
and then the great Messi, supposedly.
Shut up about him. He came off the bench to score a hat-trick
last week,
which was pretty good.
Yeah.
Kudos to him. And he's changed, eh? He's changed from a guy who could have your daughter home by 10 to the guy who will say, fam, you'll see your daughter next week because of the
he's
beard.
He's getting a bit naughty.
He's got
Messi,
swag
right?
now. He's got
he's
a bit
got
of
a
swag.
Bit of,
I must say he's got a bit of swag.
A petulant streak in him.
Yes, he's got a bit of swag now with the beard. Anyway, Argentina 3, Bolivia 0. Goals from Lavezzi, Lamela, and Cuesta meant that Argentina qualified for the quarters with 100% record, and they topped their group with Chile.
Is this finally Argentina's chance to win a major trophy?
Well, I mean, look, they come out of like the groups and they go into the quarterfinals.
Which in itself is a bizarre take. I mean, how did they design this tournament?
It's a weird little tournament.
I looked at that. I was like, surely there's a round of 16. There's a lot of countries.
No, there's no round.
You're
of
telling
16.
Me they couldn't have put more? Anyways.
No.
This is a country.
No.
Yeah, anyways.
No. Anyway, so Argentina will actually face Venezuela in the quarterfinals.
Wow, hard.
And then sticking with some Copa America news, Brazil are out of the tournament and have severed ties again with the inimitably boring Coach Dunga.
Probably one of the worst coaches in Brazilian history.
But you know, I always remember Dunga from the 94 World Cup when the commentators, whenever Brazil were playing, the commentators would consistently refer to him as Captain Dunga. Captain, like, that was his
the
first
man
name.
Was
for the longest time for me, I thought that was his first name.
Captain Dunga.
Yeah, because...
Mr. Captain Dunga.
Captain Dunga. But I mean, I think Durak Jesus has touched on this before, talking about how Dunga is a product of Brazil's shame in the 1982 World Cup, where after their style of, you know, the samba style, the flair had been dismantled by the Germans and... You know, they felt embarrassed and they decided to go for a more pragmatic and more solid style. And you can see that in Dunga. Even when in him as a player, he was a defensive-minded midfielder.
Yeah, and As you say, I completely agree with you. And I looked at a number thing. You know, Brazil started with not a single defensive midfielder in their last game.
Really?
Not one. No defensive cover.
Yeah.
And I think he was trying to go back to that sort of like, you know, let's go out and get it. But the way they exited, I don't know if you saw the goal.
I didn't see the goal. Yeah.
Handball.
Oh, shame.
Went into the back of the net. They lost 1-0.
Yeah.
And it's a cruel way to go, but it's indicative of the reign of
Captain Dunga.
Captain Dunga.
Captain Dunga.
And I'm supposedly, I think it's the club in Sao Paulo, their coach is probably going to be the new captain. Or alternatively, go back to tried and tested
Luis Scolari. Yeah.
We'll see what happens, but it looks like I think the Sao Paulo manager is going to be taking over.
Yeah, look, I've got a message on our WeChat from Sonia. She says, Theo, what happened to you though in terms of the accident? You want to tell the people?
No,
the people want to know.
No, thanks. But anyways, thanks very much for the concern. Appreciate
it. Wasn't a xenophobia attack, Duncan, no. You asshole. Duncan is so unnecessary. We have a few WeChat messages again. We've got a Yao Kodiwo Agekum, who knows by now that jollof rice from Nigeria is the fire rice. Says, it's been a while since I've listened to the show live. This feels like my homecoming. The show is still fire flames.
Hey! Of course it is. It's the only place
to lose
your mind.
And Sonia says, but guys, Brazil are lacking quality players right now, though. Really?
They're lacking quality players.
Really? Come on,
because
Sonia.
Neymar's out grinding with Serena Williams.
Did you see him?
And Michelle.
Dude, from Neymar
Destiny's
has had,
Child, right?
Neymar has had orgies upon orgies in the last three weeks.
Iniquity that was going on.
He was
on
with
that
Justin Bieber. He was with Lewis Hamilton. He was with Steph Curry.
Oh,
he was with LeBron James.
God,
he was with,
man.
What is he not doing, this
the
kid,
guy
man?
He is living his best life.
Yeah, anyway, and also he's decided not to play
go to the Olympics. So
Copa
he's
America.
Pissed every single day.
I thought he's going to the Olympics, isn't he?
He said no
to Copa America.
Oh,
but
to go to the
Olympics. Yeah, because he wants
okay,
to get
fair
a,
enough.
He wants to get a medal.
And he released, I mean, Jordan Nikes.
Yeah, Jordan Nikes, like,
I mean,
it's the first football Jordan
good
collaboration.
God, yeah. Not even Cristiano the Great
has got that.
Has
yeah.
got that. So
Neymar.
He's the new big face of Nike.
Neymar, you bastard. So let us move on swiftly. Quarterfinal matchups are as follows: USA versus Ecuador, Peru versus Colombia,
mm-hmm.
Argentina versus Venezuela.
Oh, Chile, Mexico.
Chile, Mexico. That's a given,
that's a
though.
Big game.
No, but Chile, Mexico is a given.
I think Mexico will take this.
No, I don't believe so.
They've got the home crowd advantage. They're basically playing at home in the US.
Yeah.
To be honest.
Wow.
Sorry. Donald Trump. It's the truth, though. It's a lot of people of Mexican heritage who are in the States.
Theo just pulled out his inner Donald Trump there.
No, not at all. I love all people from Mexico.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. You want to keep saying that
no,
again?
No.
Okay.
I'm just
going to
keep
quiet
now.
So anyway, those are the quarterfinal matchups. We'll hopefully... Let's move on to the Euros.
Euro 2016.
Oh. Do we need theme music for this?
I think we do, man.
Is going on at Euro 2016?
We just need like explosions.
You know what? We need Jesus for
Michael
Euro 2016.
Michael Bay, Transformers.
We need Euro... We need Jesus for Euro 2016. I mean...
What a tournament, and for the right and wrong reasons, I think we should, you know, we need to, have you seen what these Russian disgusting, scummy rat critters have been
doing? Let's have some ultralight beans for Euro 2016, man.
This deserves to be...
Let's have some ultralight beans for Euro 2016.
Do you know when I think Dimitri Payet saw that goal, and the ball sat up for him.
Yeah.
He hit it with his left foot. And that thing stayed hit.
It stayed hit.
He went out there, and the whole of France was erupting in joy. And I don't think I've ever seen
an
a player.
Orgasmic
the
jubilation.
Man is crying.
Scenes of jubilation.
That is going to be one of those.
As Dimitri Payet scores. What a girl. What a
and
girl.
It's a great, I mean.
Very nice.
Fact, the French national football team is more transformed than the Springboks, which is...
The French national football team is more transformed than the Springboks. Pearls from Theo Mojo.
Yeah.
Pearls of wisdom from Theo Mojo. Anyway, let's go to the games themselves, actually. France 2, Romania 1. Giroud Empire with goals as France get off to a shaky start. Was it nervy, though? I mean, I've seen people saying it's nervy. I don't believe so.
I thought it was nervy for a bit. I thought Pogba had a very, very a quiet game by his lofty standards. And I think also the media, he's the poster boy for this tournament, right?
All right. We are joined online by Rosella Marai. Rosella, how are you?
How's it?
Hey,
finally!
How are you doing?
Finally!
Hey, guys.
Finally, we get you on the show.
I know, it's been forever.
Jeez, how was Italy?
Amazing. Absolutely amazing.
Oh, nice. And how's the cup final?
Incredible. It's a pity Milan didn't win, but, you know, the hubby was happy because he's a Juventino. So.
He's
a Juventino.
Nice.
Okay, so we're talking Euro 2016 here, and we just spoke about France's 2-1 win over the Romanians. What do you think about the game, fam?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, the Romanians put up quite a good defensive display, and they kind of pushed France to the edge, and then, obviously, Dimitri Payet came in, and he was such a great asset for them in that game, and he really, really put his name out for the tournament.
Yeah, no, definitely. So, what's his name? Didier Deschamps hauls off Paul Pogba, he pulls off Antoine Griezmann.
I nearly actually cried.
The talisman of the team. I mean, and you're thinking, does he have gonads of steel to do that? What kind of balls does this guy have to take out who are ostensibly the team's strong points? Do these guys have that bad a game each? I mean, what do you think?
I don't think so. Look, I think Griezmann he's actually played over 5,000 minutes of football this season.
Okay.
And I think, you know, it's probably starting to take a toll on his form, and Deschamps probably could see that and decided, let's take him off, rest him a little bit.
Yeah.
Pogba equally has played only 12 minutes short of 5,000 minutes. Jeez. So he's also had a very long campaign.
Yeah.
And I think maybe taking them off, he decided obviously to have Griezmann off allows Payet to have more freedom because they both tuck in and cut in quite easily.
Yeah.
And to have both of them on the field doesn't work a lot.
Yeah.
So obviously having Payet there, having a free role, it actually proved a point after that.
Yeah,
so
definitely.
And then bringing on Coman obviously came on. I think with Coman you have to have Martial on the other side.
Yeah.
You can't just have one and not the other.
Yeah.
Oh, are you still there?
I don't know if she's still there.
So, yeah.
There we go. Okay, let's talk about something that might actually interest you so much. Italy 2, Belgium 0.
Jeez.
What a display.
Is this the upset of the tournament?
Look, I mean, as an Italy fan and someone who watches Italy and who's watched Conte for so long, I really didn't, you know, I didn't see them losing. I could never picture them losing. And a lot of people say they're surprised that Conte played with the 3-5-2 kind of system with the wing-backs. But if anyone has watched Conte's game, you know that he's at Juventus, he always played with the back three and with Lichtsteiner or whoever's on the left-hand side.
Yeah.
And it worked for him. And he's obviously trying to implement that with in Italy, with the Italy squad.
Yeah.
And he's a very tactical coach. He'll bore you with, you know, he'll rather play boring games and win it than play a pretty game.
Yeah.
And he as you could see, the tactical battle against Belgium was second to none. Like, they were impeccable.
Yeah.
And obviously, Belgium, we expect a lot more. They've got so much talent, and I was very disappointed in what they put out. But they're just not playing as a unit, and they kind of need a coach that can do that for them.
Yeah. Well, I mean, to say that it was boring is also like a bit of an understatement. Well, not an understatement, but it's disingenuous because it doesn't really tell us how great they were actually going forward as well. It wasn't boring at all. I mean, I was looking and I was thinking, wow, this is Italy. They are playing so well.
I've seen with Conte's 3-5-2, which is brilliant how it works.
Yeah.
And Candreva, for me, was brilliant. I thought Florenzi would have started, but I saw Candreva starting. He had an incredible game. Mm. Damian Holdorf for, I think, Di Sceglio in the 72nd minute or something. But, you know, it wasn't boring as such, but it was a tactical brilliance by Conte himself, as you said.
Mm.
But do you think that against a stronger, more composed Belgian side, that midfield, that Italian midfield, would find a lot of struggle, you know, with having Parolo and De Rossi there? Or how would you structure the team?
Absolutely. I think obviously our midfield isn't as strong. De Rossi sits there above the defense, and he can act as a sweeper role. He can even slot into central defense when need be, and we saw him do that when Chiellini often ran up the field.
Yeah.
As you say, from the wing, Candreva on the wing was brilliant, but you saw Giaccherini, despite his goal, he often lost possession. Parolo often lost possession. Like, they were losing a lot of balls. And that is obviously something that, you know, they've got to improve on.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, you know, against the stronger team, ideally you want someone who can break up their play and be more composed. And De Rossi and Thiago Motta are those two kind of players. But they cannot play against each other. Yeah. I mean, against with each other. And so they Conte obviously has to sacrifice. And he's got to decide what he's going to do. And I think De Rossi is obviously the best man for the job right now. I would never have chosen Parolo in the first place. Yeah. I probably would have brought in Bonaventura, despite the Milan fan in me. I thought he's a great player and he works his socks off. He will run at everything that he can. Okay. And Jacqueline is always a controversial figure among the Italy
I was
fans.
Going to ask you, why does Conte love Jacqueline? We've seen him at Juve. He loved playing him at Juve until Conte left and he, Paolo Di Canio brought him to Sunderland. And then he's gone back now. I think he's at Torino, if I'm not mistaken, or
Bologna.
What is it about Jacqueline? Is he like the James Milner of Italy?
Is he the James Milner of Italy?
You know, he's frustrating at times, a lot of the times. He's a kind of player. The reason what appeals to Conte so much is the fact that he's a workhorse.
Yeah.
And Conte, as I said, Conte wants those players that will fight for everything. Mm-hmm. And he's the kind of player that will do. He won't stop Jacqueline, even though he's not the perfect player. He plays his heart out and he runs. And I think he probably ran the second most under Parolo in that game for Italy. So he's that kind of player that will keep on running for, and will give everything you can get. He's kind of the Gattuso with less skill.
Much a poor man's Gattuso.
Yeah. Anyway, let's move to England and Russia. And there's so many other ancillary issues around that game in any case. But let's start off with the game itself, which didn't live up to much as a spectacle. But do you see any change in England this season? This tournament. And what do you think their chances are in terms of the tournament?
You know, every time England always comes into a tournament, a lot of the fans, well, particularly the English fans, are like, yeah, England are going to win. And everyone's like, no.
No chance.
But I think there's quite a lot of good players in this English squad. I actually enjoy it more to previous years.
Yeah.
I think, you know, obviously Harry Kane is a very exciting player to watch. And
as a corner kick taker, yes.
Yeah, he loves taking corners. Great in the air, but great at corners as well.
Yeah. It's obviously, I think there's still a lot of work to be done in that team. I can never see England winning a tournament as if you look at the other talent that's around. I mean, Germany, Spain, you know, I just don't think they can ever compete with them.
Yeah.
But I definitely think they'll probably go around about to the quarterfinals.
Okay. Say. That is a bold claim. What are you going to put on that? Put something on it.
Oh, gosh. I don't know.
Okay, and then we have Spain 1-0 against the Czech Republic. Very late peak a goal, like condemned the Czechs to a defeat. But Spain didn't look very convincing at all.
No, they didn't, which was obviously, I mean, they had lost to Georgia just before.
Yeah.
So that might have played a little bit of an impact on them. Also, I remember the last Euros, they actually drew to Italy in their first league game. And so obviously they kind of play slow starters to a tournament, which is not something that's new for for Europeans in particular.
Yeah.
Obviously, you know, they dominated that game. The Czech Republic, their defensive display, Czech in goal, was incredible.
Incredible, immense.
Yeah, usual. Jeez.
Absolutely incredible. So I think maybe, you know, against a team where they will be more free flowing.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously the Czechs, they packed that midfield and they kind of had an anti-Spain display.
Anti-Spain display, yeah.
So if they play a more open team, like I'm sure if they had to play Germany, it would be we would see a lot better Spain on board.
No, definitely. And then so we forgot to mention this, but there's the issue of, you know, the attacks and the fights that have happened outside of the football itself at the tournament with Russian fans and Russian ultras clashing with England fans in Lille. Was it Lille?
It was in
Marseille.
Lille is today.
It's today, and there's going to be more.
And here that they've already arrested about 65 Russians. And they went with gum guards. They took gum guards to go smash England fans in the face.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. I mean,
what is your opinion? You know, you've watched a lot of Italian football. You know the violence that comes with Italian football, which is, you know, not great. But at a tournament like this, you've got Europe's best football players, and it's a family tournament. People getting smashed in the face.
Absolutely. It's a complete disgrace. As you say, it's a family tournament. I mean, and not, like, the French have got enough to worry about with ISIS coming along.
Yeah.
And, you know, they stressed and overworked as it is trying to protect the country and the nation. Now they've got thousands of fans streaming into the country. They're already on high alert. So it's just so unnecessary from the sets of fans to do this. At the end of the day, football's meant to unite people, not separate people.
Yeah. And do you think they should be banned? Yeah. Russia, disqualified?
I think if it happens again, if we see another incident like this, then absolutely. Cut them out and, you know, let them, the fans have to pay the consequences and unfortunately the team. But if, you know, if the real captain should have come out and said, approached the fans and spoke to them and addressed them, but we haven't actually seen anything from that.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's really, really disappointing. You don't want to see a tournament marred with violence, especially when it happened 2 days into the tournament.
Yeah, and finally, let's talk about Iceland 1 and Portugal 1, you know. Nani scores, Ronaldo underwhelms, but I mean...
Is this what happens when we get Cristiano Ronaldo in big tournaments and big games now? Is this, we just know it's inevitable he's
this
going
guy
to...
This guy's injured, guys.
He is injured once again at another big tournament, but he will not play.
The last major tournament he had a good time was 2004 in Portugal.
And when he cried.
Yeah, when he cried, yeah, in the final. What do you think, Rosie?
You know, it's just, you know, Ronaldo, unfortunately with him, he comes from a team where, at Real Madrid, where he's packed with stars and stars that play for him.
Yeah.
And Portugal, even though, you know, they're meant to be a team, I feel like there's a lot of individualism in there and there's certain cliques in that team. And obviously, you know, Ronaldo kind of, he's trying to overcompensate because there's not enough talent and people feeding him around him.
Yeah.
And he's just, eventually he actually just lands up being isolated. And as you say, he was terrible last night. He was very underwhelmed.
He had the first touch of a high school bus driver.
Yeah, man. of a Russian ultra.
Oh, it's fun.
Anyway, Rosie, thank you so much for joining us on the show. We really appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule and, you know, sharing some pearls of wisdom with us. Just as an aside, do you spend at least 2 hours a day reading books by Pep Guardiola on tactics and...
No, not at all. I've never read a book of his.
Oh, wow. Oh, man, we're just always enthralled by your knowledge of the game, and we really appreciate you taking time out to speak to us. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much for everything. Good luck to Italy. Let's hope they can make it out the group stages.
Actually,
so
who do you think is going to win the tournament?
Giacchini, the winner in the final.
Yeah, Giacchini. I think it's going to go to Germany.
Okay.
But yeah, I really don't want it to.
Oh, shame. Oh, well, anyway, thank you, Rosie.
Thanks
thank
a lot.
You so much.
Cheers.
Thanks, guys. Bye. Have a good one.
Cheers. You too. Right.
Ooh, those Russian ultras, eh?
Those Russian ultras, eh?
Jesus
those Russian
Christ.
Ultras. Speaking of the Russian ultras, so we spoke to Gentleman Ultra.
Mr. Calcio himself.
We spoke to Richard Hall of Gentleman Ultra, and he writes for BN Sports, ESPN, and all those kind of guys.
God,
he's a god.
He's a big guy.
And we spoke to him and spoke about the Euros as well. There's certain questions we asked him. We asked him quite a few things about... Around what do you call this?
Around the violence, around the tournament itself.
And he shared some pearls of wisdom with us that we're gonna share with you just now. But before that, let's talk about Germany 2 Ukraine 0.
Oh, Bastian Schweinsteiger. Bastian
rolling back the years.
Coming back, looking like a young Bastian, 19 years old.
Yeah.
You know, went in there. It was a massive. Counter-attack, Ozil with the assist, and it was an incredible finish.
Yeah, yeah.
But, I mean, Germany were easy. I love Boateng, by the way. Boateng had a game and a half.
He had a stormer. That clearance off the line.
Even that clearance off the line. Mm. Even he was getting balls. And you know that typical ball-playing
center-back.
Breaking the lines. And
you know, I was reading the Daily Mirror the other day. And they had the audacity to call him a flop.
Don't even bother with
an English
anything
Premier
that
League
says
flop.
Daily and has media outlets in the UK is a complete trash hole.
It's trash.
It's a big, flapping
they
trash hole.
They call this guy a flop. I can't, but anyway.
All they ever watch is Man City. So when he played at Man City, he was judged on when he was, what, 21,
and look, he wasn't
22?
Even that bad. He wasn't bad at all.
And all they wanted was, I've had enough of English media for the rest of my life.
Yeah, no, those guys can actually go hang. We are going to be joined by Gentleman Ultra shortly, but before we do that...
What did you think of the Wales game? And were Wales taking the 2-1 lead, 3 points, Gareth Bale, and I mean Aaron Ramsey with his, you know, Bond villain haircut.
That is an ugly haircut.
It's just terrible. Peroxide blonde. And he goes in there. I mean, Hal Robson Kanu was, you know, had struggled.
Is he Kanu's relation?
No.
I've always wondered, like, is he Kanu's
relation? He's Nigerian. Nigerian Welsh.
So yeah, it could
There's
be related
lots of
to Kanu.
Kanus.
Could be related to Kanu. It doesn't mean that I'm being
Fair
xenophobic.
Enough. Fair enough.
Anyway, this is Richard Hall of Gentlemen Ultra with a few pearls about what's happening at the Euro 2016.
I think first of all, on the issue with Russia and England and the fans and the problems they've had, I think that it really is telling for the World Cup in 2018. Some of the comments that have come out from the Russians have been quite diabolical, in my opinion, and I think that. Look at the disaster that happened in Orlando only recently. It's quite telling that the attitude of the Russian authorities and the Russian FA, if you would, towards the violence. I mean, we've got 150 organised fans that have actually trained for this and come over to the Stade Velodrome with one specific motive, and that's to fight the England fans. You know, even though the English are, yes, they created hooliganism in some respects, these are different fans now. You know, they're very different fans, and the Premier League's a testament to that. What happened after that, I think even if you've had trouble in the fans, and obviously there's not everyone is innocent on both sides, there are always going to be problems, but when you've got trained ultra groups coming over, it's very, very telling of what they wanted to do, and I think they achieved that in some respects. I think that the comments afterwards, as I just said, after the violence and the killings in Orlando, to talk about the fact that the French police are soft because they're too bothered with gay pride is absolutely outrageous. And I think even just as much so, I think Igor Lebedev's comments on Twitter about the fact that, you know, he's praising the Russian ultras, and he's a senior position. You know, this guy has gone out and said, well done, lads, keep it up. I mean, what sort of message is that? I think the fact that they've got a suspended sentence and 150,000 euro fine is probably not enough. You know, they manage to host a World Cup? How can anyone send fans over there? You know, if the English fans aren't there, who's next? Who's the next people to go over? Who are the next people to get involved? Will they turn the Germans? Who knows? You know, I mean, you can't hold a tournament under that shadow because there'll be more than 150 there, and there's more than, you know, the more trained violence, really. So it's a sad, sorry situation. And I think that although it's tough in some respects because not all Russian fans are like this, you know, even the slightest bit now should see that sentence put in force. On a lighter note, though, with the Euros, just going on to Italy, what a fantastic game that was last night in Lyon. Antonio Conte before this tournament, I mean, I personally thought that, okay, he had an interview yesterday and I was saying that, you know, the only chance Italy have got is if he does actually press and play the wide players and really go, because Belgium's fullbacks were always going to be weak. And that back four with the BBC and obviously Buffon is just so well oiled. I think last night what impressed me was not only the exemplary performance of Bonucci, but also Buffon and how he defended in two different ways. He was, when they pushed up forward, he played like Manuel Neuer, being able to come out and act as a sweeper. And then he was so specialist in his zone. I've only really commanded the 6-yard box when they played five at the back. It was just fantastic defensive performance that we don't see from Italy. Don't see from any teams at the moment. And what I think that's testament to in some respects is the fact that when you look at it, you've got four players who play together at national level, at club level. It's really difficult to get even a four that play for that long together at club level because of the money in the game and how quickly the players move around and how fast moving it is. But fantastic, fantastic goalkeeping performance. Even though he only had three saves, the rest of his game was exemplary. Bonucci, Chiellini, Barzagli, just unbelievable. And, you know, even you know, Giaccherini, what a game. Candreva, again. It was a team performance. This is a collective win over individualism. You know, Belgium have probably got one of the most talented squads in the team, but they're not a team. And then Antonio Conte has worked his magic with this, and it's incredible. And we just keep getting different testaments over the season of how a teamwork can overcome certain aspects. And this was another one of those. So Italy, how far can they go? difficult. You know, they should get out of the group now. 3 points is automatically, well, you think gets you out of the group pretty much, and you feel like they'll get something against Ireland or Sweden. But who knows? Zlatan Ibrahimovic always has something to say against the Italians. Scored with that amazing goal, of course, for 2004. The Irish have also beat the Italians back in 94, so there are omens. But realistically, you think that with a performance like that, Italy will be so buoyed now. And after that, you know, I mean, it depends who they get. It really does now. This tournament's going to be an interesting one. There's a lot of teams in who can surprise. There's a long way to go. I don't think the Italians themselves are getting overexcited as yet. But even so, it was a fantastic game last night. And it was so unexpected that I think it was just a model of professionalism, of spirit, of passion. And, you know, I think that with that attitude and a back defence like they have, and, you know, who knows? Maybe Graziano Pelle is going to be the new Salvatore Scalacci. Maybe not. We'll see.
I love that. Pelle to be the new Scalacci. What a finish, though, by Pelle, man. What a volley.
Yeah. Thank you to Richard Hall of Gentleman Ultra. You can follow him at Gentleman_Ultra. And, yeah, just...
Year 2016, man. What
marvel at the swag. But yeah, anyway, let's move on with the results. Wales 2, Slovakia 1. Gareth Bale scores. Have you spoken about Wales?
No, not really.
Well, not really, yeah. But
Gareth Bale with a screamer
of a free kick to give Wales a historic first win at the Euros. Funny enough, there's a Wales fan who slept throughout the game in the stadium. There's a Wales fan who missed the historic moment.
You can't get that pissed before a game, man.
That's how pissed he was. He was super drunk. Turkey 0, Croatia 1. Modric goal. Was it a Modric goal?
Modric. Another volley from outside the box.
Poland 1, Northern Ireland 0.
Shame.
Ireland 1, Sweden 1. People actually thought Sweden were going to rout Ireland.
And they were shit.
But how? I mean...
Because we have people like Seb Larsson playing there.
Ireland are good. Sonia has two messages for us. Sorry, Theo Mojo. Sonia says, guys, is it just me or was the English-Russia game the most entertaining thus far? Hashtag entertained. Or, guys, what is the appropriate way for legends such as Cristiano and Messi to end their careers?
Go play in the MLS.
Go play in the MLS, fam.
Go play in China.
Go
make £500,000 a game.
Yeah. Anyway, you were saying, Theo Mojo.
I was just thinking, like, the Irish were, I mean, surprised. Where's Houlihan? Where's Houlihan was doing stepovers and looking like Neymar against Sweden?
What do they call him? The Irish Iniesta.
Yeah.
Where's Houlihan?
And the boy was playing well. I couldn't believe it. I mean, Norwich City, I've not seen him play like that for Norwich City.
Mm.
And then you look at Zlatan. He even said it. He said Sweden lack quality.
Yeah.
He was honest himself. And Kieran Clarke getting an own goal, and unfortunately. But I mean, Republic of Ireland were really great.
Yeah.
I just wish they'd start Robbie Keane instead of Jonathan Walters. I just don't see what. I don't even know. What does he do?
It's the white hair, fam. You need to have that silver fox.
He's wearing mercurial vapors. John Walters is wearing mercurial vapors.
He doesn't deserve
He doesn't deserve
it. I deserve it, Shem.
Play Robbie Keane up front. Rosie
says, that was awesome. Thanks, Football Show CC. Really enjoyed our chat. We enjoyed having you on the show, Rosie. Thank you so much. And then Scantonto says, Theo Mojo is back and already dropping jewels, bombs, bars. Thank you, fam. Thanks very much,
Scantonto.
Scantonto.
What did you think of the Austria-Hungary game, man? That was quite last night.
I thought...
Bizarre game.
For all the talent that Austria have, for them to go out like that to Hungary was very bizarre.
This is Hungary's first tournament in 30 years.
Yeah.
And then, they come in there, I mean, I don't know.
And they take out Austria.
David Alaba and Arnautovic. Two standout names.
Yeah, definitely.
And you're thinking to yourself, this is a guaranteed 3 points.
There's an article I was reading the other day, and they were talking about how David Alaba is the personification and embodiment of the 21st century footballer.
In what sense?
He is the most complete footballer in world football outside of the final third.
Fair enough. He can play anywhere.
Because
he can.
He can play centre back, right back, left back.
Centre midfield, right wing. He's brilliant. He's actually an athlete. He's an athlete.
Yeah. He can play anywhere.
And he takes free kick.
And he's 22.
Real Madrid wanted him for 60 million, I think it was.
He is worth every penny. David Alaba.
You can't
Nigerian descent, by the way.
Really?
Yes. He's like Nigerian dad or something.
Austria has a lot of immigrant players.
Yeah.
I mean, with immigrant heritage.
Yeah.
You look at Arnautovic, I think he's from Bosnia.
Yeah.
Who Selassie from Ethiopia. Mm-hmm. And a lot of, I mean, it's great to see this. This is why diversity works. This is why opening your borders works.
Yeah.
Because your football team
becomes
better.
Mexico. Yeah.
Guys like Albania and the likes of that, and England, open your borders up, man.
Open your borders up, fam.
Fam?
Yeah.
Go out. Man's gonna come through.
Man's will come through.
They're gonna go do that visa thing. Come through. Be a citizen. You got a bunch of Dele Alli's running around.
Easily.
There we
go. Dele Alli's. And then we forgot to talk about Albania and Switzerland, actually, where two brothers faced off.
Shaka and Granit Xhaka.
Xhaka and Xhaka, yeah. And
I wonder why he didn't play for
Tolant Xhaka.
Albania. Because that's his natural
place, yeah. I guess because he's been in Switzerland for like a while.
It's kind of shit.
It's pretty shit, yeah. But I think Arsenal fans, some of us who were watching, got a bit of a glimpse of the new boy. He's got a bit of bite about him.
I feel the Arsenal Twitter burn is just growing.
And there's this pass, though, that he did with his left foot. Oh! Diagonal pass.
Man of quality, though.
He is quality.
He
is quality.
And he got man of the match that game as well.
Yeah, he did. He did, indeed. Let us move on to some transfers and some news. We've spoken about Russia
I
being
feel,
handed.
You know when you've got like a sore throat and you've got an infection in your throat? Every time I hear Russia and bans, these human beings, I'm even going to call them fans. They've got doping bans in athletics. Their president goes out, president of the Football Association, says that the French police can't handle Russian fans because they're too used to
gay
pride parades.
Yeah.
In the midst of probably one of the worst atrocities in the world.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I would say in America, right? Yeah. Let's not say the world. But, I mean, what kind of disgusting human being? And these Russian, and no one from the Russian FA has come out to say no. Zyuba, I don't know how you pronounce his name, the captain, comes out there and says that this is a political, and it is political, and this is why people want Russia out the tournament. He didn't even say discredit the fans.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of CSK Moscow fans, Zenit fans who have come in there. They came through Switzerland, supposedly. Mm. And Russia did not flag any single one of those ultras. And they are kicking the living shit out of black people, English fans, black and English fans, and anyone who is basically a decent human being in the streets of Marseille, now in Lille, and they need to be stopped. I think they should be disqualified.
No, definitely.
And the racism again.
Again. And I think, I mean, to add on to that, I believe it, those comments essentially miss what people are trying to achieve in sport. You know, decide that we all love, and that should transcend all boundaries of race, color, creed, blah, 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 blah. And then you come out and you say rubbish like this. I think it just sends us many, many years backwards. And
it comes back to the days. I mean, when England got banned from Euro 92 for the violence I think they caused.
Yeah.
I mean, look at what's happened here. You've got these guys and they get fined 150,000 euros.
That's nothing.
For racism, fireworks in a stadium, and attacking fans. I mean, if you're there with your family, imagine your two-year-old kid getting his head kicked in by a guy with a gum guard and fucking tattoos all over his face.
And that actually has a video has surfaced of them.
Yeah,
training.
The GoPro. I've seen that one in the forest.
Yeah, it's in the forest when they're training to go 2016.
You cannot. These are people from the front lines in Crimea who have gone, who've taken leave to go and beat innocent people walking around trying to enjoy football, and it's disgusting.
It is.
And last night there was problems again. Wales and England fans being attacked. It is time for UEFA to stand and disqualify Russia from all football tournaments for the next 10 years.
Yeah, true.
Take the World Cup away, bring it to Zimbabwe.
Yeah, but that's... Take the World Cup away and bring it to Zimbabwe. Thank you very much.
Rufaro Stadium.
Rufaro Stadium, the home of football. The ceremonial home of football in Zimbabwe. African football. And then last night, reports emerged that Zlatan Ibrahimovic was said to have a medical at Man United in lieu of joining the Red Devils on a one-year deal. However, there now seems to be a rumor that the move might be hijacked by Bayern Munich.
You know what? I've seen this Zlatan. This is going to be one of those... This is going to be another long transfer window. But I'm going to see... I don't see... I was excited, but after seeing him yesterday, the guy's 35. Let's give him
He's
a
washed.
Break. He's washed. Mm. And we're bringing him here to have some Cantona-esque revival of United.
But Cantona wasn't 35.
He wasn't 35.
And he retired at 30.
And we're bringing him here for image rights and for selling a brand, bringing two big brands together. Mm. And we want to sell this... package, Mourinho, Zlatan,
Man United, Adidas,
City,
Chevrolet
versus Adidas versus Nike, Pep versus Mourinho, and it's completely falling into this narrative of American complete trashy, sporty crapness. And we should just look at bringing in a proper striker. Bring in Alvaro Morata, 22 years old. I think he's in 22 or 21.
But is he really the answer?
He's not the answer, but...
He's had a shit Euro, one game's not enough.
First of all, he looks like a skinhead up front. He needs to grow that hair back. But I don't see how, why not. I think there's not enough strikers available in the world at the moment, unless you're bringing a Lacazette or something. But Zlatan, for me, doesn't seem like the complete package. And we will have a problem. I don't want to see another Falcao. A Falcao ting, bruv. I don't want to see that Falcao ting. Man is a fraud, man.
And speaking of United, the class of 92 legend David Beckham, and essentially the god of all attractive man swag, has joined the chorus of people singing praises for Jose Mourinho on how they can't wait to see him in action at United. Yeah, we're tired of that.
Who else?
Then Ronald Koeman confirmed as Everton manager. Shane Long risks the wrath of Southampton fans by suggesting that he is moving. Ooh, to...
Did you see Otto Borac's tweet?
What did he say?
He says, what is it? Something. He quoted Koeman's tweet about him saying, this is not about money. Mm. This is all about Southampton, what. And he went out and sent this. And this was literally a minute after he signed for Everton. And I guess there's no love lost there.
No love lost there.
Why do players do this? Are we?
I don't know.
Is it okay to just burn bridges? Is it like a?
Perhaps it is. Perhaps that's what.
Is this the new age sportsman? Is this what he does?
This is what we've seen now, especially with the advent of social media. This is probably what's happening. New Man City signing Ike Gundogan arrived at their much vaunted academy on crutches, £21 million. But he does say he will be fit by September.
Yeah.
Funny how Pep Guardiola always signs the same player first, eh? He likes that register player.
Control, right? Yeah, he wants control. The guy who's got the control, the architect. Thiago Alcantara, Bayern, first thing.
And then he signed Alonso.
Alonso as well when he got there. But this is, I think it's going to be, hopefully if he's fit, I think it's going to be Gundogan and, I don't know, big signing in... Delph and Gundogan access in midfield. I don't think so. I think he's going to sign. I think he'll get Thiago Alcantara from Bayern Munich. I wouldn't be surprised. He loves him.
And then West Ham to be offered Berahino in straight swap with Sako, apparently.
But why Berahino, man? West Ham are big. They're doing big things. They're now in the Olympic Stadium. They've got signed Sofiane Fogouli from Valencia. Mm.
For free, though.
Was it a free?
Yeah, it was a free transfer, yeah.
Jeez. There's a number of clubs I would have loved to sign like. I mean, they've also got big sponsorship deals. They could be doing better.
Yeah, and then Gareth Bale has not backed down from his comments and instead insisted that no England player would get into the Wales squad.
This is putting a cat amongst the pigeons.
It is indeed. And then the Barclays Premier League fixtures have been announced.
Finally.
And this is what we should expect on the 13th of August. Arsenal versus Liverpool on the first day. Wow, tough one. Jurgen Klopp, Arsene Wenger. Arsenal have had a home fixture in 18 of the last 25 Premier League seasons. No favouritism there. Bournemouth take on Man United in the first day. Burnley versus 6-0. Swansea City, 6-0.
6-0 United.
Bournemouth have just stayed with Eddie Howe. They've managed to
stay. Yeah, looks like survive. They're going to be... They're going to be happy with him, I guess.
I mean, and everyone's got more
job.
TV money.
Yeah. So I mean, everyone's got a minimum of 100 million or something like that.
Minimum, baba.
Yeah.
Chelsea versus West Ham. That should be a tough one.
That should be a good one. Yeah.
It's a baptism of fire for Antonio Conte, I think. Crystal Palace take on West Brom. Everton take on Tottenham. That's another tasty one. New Ronald Koeman. It's a battle of the Dutchmen.
Jeez, yeah.
No, it's
going to be Koeman versus Pochettino.
Not a Dutchman.
And Spurs are playing all their Champions League games at Wembley now.
Really?
Getting more of that TV money, more revenue as well.
But that didn't work out too well for Arsenal when they did play at Wembley. I think 2001, 2002.
Was it construction?
Just for more fans into the stadium. Yeah, it didn't really work out in terms of atmosphere.
I guess because you need to fill it up. You need 70,000 people to get there.
Right? And defending champions, Leicester City travel to Hull City on the first day of the season to start their title defense. Man City take on Sunderland. Pep is going to go to the Northwest in his first game. Tyne Weah.
He's going to face Allardyce.
Yeah. Funny enough, speaking of English Premier League football and stuff like that, Gundogan was speaking about how he can't wait to play at Stoke.
Really?
Because on a cold night at Stoke, so he did say that.
It seems ingrained in every football player in Europe that you need to make
taste yourself at Stoke.
Taste yourself against Stoke. But they're a different outfit from the days of Danny Higginbottom.
And what's the guy with the throw? Rory Delap. Yeah. Middlesbrough take on Stoke and Southampton versus Watford. And then now, in some local PSL news, Orlando Pirates are on the verge of appointing, or actually they have since confirmed that Muhsin Itoograal is their new coach, seemingly meaning that Eric Tinkler's reign and tenure as the big cheese at the Bucks has come to an end. Now,
bizarre sign.
And I will agree with you, like Jesus, here every day of the week. Why is there this preoccupation with appointing physical education teachers from true. Eastern Europe,
from bloody
Eastern Europe, from Uzbekistan to come here and coach us football? We have more technically astute, technically aware, qualified people. Benny McCarthy has just completed his UEFA B, A license.
He was in Northern Ireland there with Mido, and a number of Harry Kewell and all these guys. They're playing there, and he has done so well. Going out there, completing this.
Give him
He's sitting there.
Give him a chance. Give him a chance. Give it to Benny McCarthy.
Why do you have to always get these washed up European shitty coaches?
Points per match. Points per match in like however many games he's had as a coach. 1.40. A 37.4% win rate. Honest.
Oh my God.
Trophies won. Zero. Clubs managed. SV Mattersburg. Whoever knows where that is. Ismaili in Egypt. Ajax Cape Town. Kaiser Chiefs. Sivaspor in Turkey. What
are you doing, Chiefs? I mean, Pirates.
We need to change our mindset.
You cannot allow this. Why are we being colonized in football as well?
Again,
we can't. And also, I mean, someone made a good point saying in Ghana as well, Nigeria.
Yeah.
When you're getting these coaches in, they don't even live in the country. They're flying from Europe. They're not watching local games. Mm. They're watching from TV, streaming games live. You know, you can't be. What is this? Get your shit together.
It's disgusting.
And hire local coaches.
Anyway, and then Fatma Samba Diouf Samoura has been confirmed as the FIFA Secretary General after went through some vetting process. And she speaks French, English, Spanish, and Italian. And maybe this is why Tokyo Sekhwale didn't, you know, make the cut.
Because she speaks five languages.
Because she speaks like five languages. And despite having wooed Don Gianni Infantino with the trip to Robben Island to show him his struggle credentials.
Yeah, he tried though.
Sorry, Tokyo, you tried. And then Septic Bladder has come out to say that he witnessed with his own eyes fixed draws for UEFA competitions.
This man is
Bladder
dementia.
Said the UEFA dudes used to use cold and hot balls to rig draws.
Look, I did see a video of the UEFA draw where Zanetti is they're putting
he's
the balls there,
around,
and then he goes to like this a small bunch of them. But why is it only coming out now?
A small bunch of balls.
Yeah, he's holding balls and just. Holding them in his hands, warm and cold ones, supposedly. But why is it only coming out? Why didn't he say things when he was still head of the FIFA?
Anyway, our favorite father of doping, Dr. Fuentes, was cleared of charges by a Spanish court related to doping. The 211 blood bags involved in the case have, however, been retained as evidence by the Spanish authorities. And staying in Spain, Barcelona have agreed to pay a fine of $4.5 million to avoid jail time for director Sandro Rosell and Bartholomew. In relation to irregular tax practices connected to the purchase of Neymar 3 or 4 years ago now, they called it a tax error. Yes.
Oh, yeah, just a slight tax error. Sorry, Spanish government, we just tried to defraud you.
More than a club. And now to wrap up, let us get into our favorite segment. It is time, ladies and gentlemen.
This is brilliant.
For the laundromat. Anyway, Jogi Löw, the German coach, obviously our wolf of the week. More videos have since surfaced of him scratching his gonads and then sniffing them. He puts his hand inside his pants.
Yeah.
And then he sniffs.
But you know what? Fair enough. Podolski even said, who doesn't do that?
Do you do that? Do you scratch your balls and sniff them?
I'm a human man.
Do you scratch them and sniff them?
I didn't intentionally sniff them.
Do you sniff? That's disgusting for Duncan.
Yes.
Do you sniff?
It happens.
Oh, wow.
Maybe it's just something about a man doing that to make sure that, you know, everything's still going around.
Disgusting. And then Antonio Conte suffered a nosebleed while celebrating Italy's win over Belgium, who are ranked number one in the world. Why are Belgium ranked number one anyway? Anyway, that's another story. But anyway, that's passion.
That's Italian passion.
La passion. Yeah. And then in other disturbing 2022 World Cup news, a Dutch woman who was raped in Qatar has been convicted for adultery. This is the country that is going to host 2022 World Cup. She was raped, right? And they accused her of having sex outside of her marriage. God. 2022 World Cup is going to be so much fun.
2018 and 22 World Cups.
They stole them.
It seems like hell on earth.
Yeah. And then Ozan Tufan is a close second in our Wolf of the Week poll. He has basically been blamed by Turkish media for their defeat to Croatia after he can be seen sorting out his hair in the build-up to Luka Modric's goal. You gotta take care of your
Turkish fans. extreme zealots.
Yeah, and then a Wales fan managed to sleep through the entire Wales match. We have spoken about that. And then, yes, the Cleveland Cavaliers finally go on back over the Golden State Warriors with a victory over their more illustrious opponents in their own backyard. How unlikable is Draymond Green?
What did Draymond Green do? That
he's an asshole. He's just a dick.
He's a dick.
Okay. And then Iranian goalkeeper has been given a 6-month ban for wearing SpongeBob SquarePants.
I think that's just, come on. You can't even give Russia a ban for beating people up, but you're begging people
for wearing pants.
For being, SpongeBob pants.
Yeah, look, what do you do, fam? What do you do? Anyway, this has been...
It's been enjoyable,
it's been an enjoyable show, man. Thank you guys for joining us on the Football Show. Thank you for listening. Thank you to our guests, Rosella Marai and...
The Gentleman
Richard
Ultra.
Hall from Gentleman Ultra. We love you guys. Thank you for joining us. Download the podcast. Do everything that you need to do. And remember, be kind to strippers. All boobs matter. And
follow us for the best place to follow Euro 2016.
Follow us. Follow us, man. And
make sure you follow us on Twitter.
May the swag be
with you
guys.
Always be with you, Charles.
This is CliffCentral.com.